This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The Kurds of northern Iraq have had their referendum.
We have our decision that we want to be freedom, to be independent.
Now oil markets react. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The price of Brent crude, the international price of oil, has been hovering at two-year highs, partly because of what's going on in northern Iraq. The Kurds export as much oil as Qatar, but Turkey's president has threatened to close the pipeline through which those oil exports flow after an independence referendum. Nick Coleman, a senior editor at S&P Global Platts.
It's about 13% of the total amount comes from the north of the country. So you might say, you know, that's not huge. It's 600,000 barrels a day. But the reason why it's rather a fraught issue is the issue of Kirkuk, which is disputed really between Kurdistan and the rest of Iraq. And about half of Kurdistan's oil actually comes from the Kirkuk area. So if Kurdistan didn't have that, it would be much diminished. So Kirkuk is really central for the oil industry, and of course it's central to the politics of the region.
So there's a dispute with Baghdad, but also with Turkey, because Turkey likes being an oil hub, but it hates the idea of Kurdish independence. How much impact would Turkey closing that pipeline have globally?
That pipeline is the only way, really, of getting crude out of Kurdistan in significant volumes to the Mediterranean. The rest of Iraq's crude goes south, and typically a lot of that goes to Asia. But the northern crude comes out of this pipeline across Turkey to Ceyhan, where it can go typically to Europe and Israel. As you said, Turkey wants to be this kind of oil hub. So it's slightly conflicted there because it also, as you say, wants to send a message to Kurdistan on a political level.
Now, the price of Brent crude has been hovering at this two-year high. What do you think is going to happen? Because this dispute is not going to be resolved easily.
Kirkuk is kind of all important, and people are a little bit worried that, you know, that there could be military conflict or something, you know, could get out of control.
Nick Coleman, let's do the numbers. The Kurdish referendum led the price of Brent crude above $59 a barrel. The price of U.S. oil, West Texas Intermediate, was down 0.36% to $52. Japan's Nikkei ended down 67 points or 0.33% after the prime minister called a snap election amid growing North Korean threats. Now, what's more valuable, pristine rainforest or the gold and manganese beneath it? The Brazilian government has given up a plan to allow commercial mining in a vast reserve in the Amazon after a court blocked it. The BBC's Katie Watson has more.
This is a win for environmentalists and a climb down for the government. The reserve is home to indigenous tribes, as well as being rich in gold and other minerals. It's been protected since 1984, but the Temer administration last month said it would open up the area, known as Renca, as a way to boost the economy and better oversee an area prone to illegal mining. It was a move that caused outrage. Now the government said it will withdraw from the proposal altogether, but in a statement, the Mines and Energy Ministry said it would revisit the issue in the future in a wider debate.
Katie Watson in Brazil. Now imagine transactions done without a middleman, but totally secure. Not just money, but contracts, even voting. That's blockchain, a technology that creates a digital trail stored on huge numbers of personal computers. It's decentralized, so records can't be faked or altered without everyone knowing. Eva Kaili is a Greek member of the European Parliament who's been attending the World Blockchain Forum, which ends today here in London. I asked her why governments would be interested.
It removes friction. It makes easier to do any kind of transaction. And if you have a contract, it's always there. Nobody can change it. So I think this gives you a lot of trust. Everything stays there. It's like when you Google search something and somebody can go back and delete the history. In this case, you cannot delete your transaction.
To what extent, then, is blockchain already being used by governments?
We already tried to have some sandboxes and pilots to find ways to reduce bureaucracy or to make sure that people will have open platforms that they can work with, because it's still an expensive technology and we want to explore ways to make things more easy, more safe, more transparent. And we would like also to remove corruption from the system.
For example, with, say, voting or with public records.
Exactly. So you can protect your health data. This means you can have your hashtag and your identity anonymous. You can decide who you serve it with. You can follow and track it down if it's being abused or used by somebody you don't want to. You can e-vote. This means you can always go back and check with your code if your vote has been altered.
How much time before this brave new world that you describe actually becomes a reality? Because it feels like it's still very new. It's still limited to people who really understand it and who know how to use it.
So I think it's like cloud. So people, I think, will start using it fast. But the technology itself will develop in different applications. It will take some years. It's been out there, like, I think for 10 years. I think the next 2-3 years, we're going to start, everybody will have some kind of application on blockchain. So many different things.
Eva Kaili. And finally,
shine bright like a diamond.
A diamond the size of a tennis ball has sold for $53 million to a British dealer. However, like Rihanna says, you can shine bright like a diamond with or without a big stone. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.